And good morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. The Democratic primary for mayor takes place 6 months from now, on the 26th of April. When Stephanie Rawlings Blake won the last mayoral election in 2011, it was decided to grant her and other Baltimore elected officials an extra year in office so that the mayor's race could be aligned with the presidential primary. The federal and local general election will take place in November of 2016, making the general election season for mayor considerably longer than it was the last time around, when the primary preceded the general election by less than 2 months. So today we'll take stock of the candidates for mayor who have announced so far, as well as a few who are expected to run, but who have not yet announced. I'm joined by two folks who keep a close eye on the local political scene. Fern Shen is the founder and editor of the Baltimore Brew. Taylor Stewart is the regional director of Leadership for Educational Equality. It's nice to see both of you. Good morning. So, Taylor, tell us what Leadership for Educational, is it equity or equality?
Equity.
Equity. Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
So the Leadership for Educational Equity, what kind of work do you all do?
Yeah, so we're an organization that works with teachers and former teachers to help them get involved in politics, policy, and advocacy here in Baltimore. So we think about it through community organizing and having our teachers be able to raise a voice from their classrooms about how we should be funding schools for our kids. But then also, we have individual leadership of former teachers being able to bring their experience from the classroom into public office, into helping out in policy positions or in advocacy organizations.
Yeah, so politics is an important dimension of what you all do.
Very important. Yeah.
And we should make clear that you're not here speaking on behalf of your organization. You're just giving us your
exactly. I'm a private citizen this morning.
There you go. You're all out. So Fern Shen, you know, when Stephanie Rawlings Blake decided not to seek re-election, that was something of a shell shock to a lot of folks. With the field as that we currently have, Nick Mosby just announced a few days ago that he's running, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, Senator Kathy Pugh, Carl Stokes, a council member from the 12th District, and a few others. Is there any punitive front runner at this moment? Is there a person to beat?
I think before the mayor dropped out, you would have said Sheila.
Sheila Dixon, yeah.
But I think a lot of the air was taken out of that whole thing when she, when the mayor dropped out, because, you know, Sheila was the, her whole concept was, you know, anybody but Stephanie beat the incumbent. And so that was kind of, you know, her legs were knocked out from under her with that. And so now I think people are still shell-shocked by the, change in the in the universe here, and I don't see any of them as a front runner quite yet.
So Taylor Stewart, this really is an open race, and without the current mayor, without the incumbent, to sort of knock around, they really got to start from scratch. Do you have a sense of what the big issues are going to be?
Yeah, so I think that you get the pollsters who will say that crime and grime are going to be what this election's driven on, but I actually think that there are people in Baltimore talking about issues around education and are talking about issues around youth opportunities and development throughout the city and jobs. I think after April, we've seen a lot of folks being able to get far more involved in a lot of these deeper issues and that have been driving our city. So I think that the candidates are going to have to be able to talk a little bit more about some really complicated issues for our city.
I went last night to a meeting of BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, and a big focus of their efforts over the next several months is going to be voter registration. Reverend Glenna Huber, who's one of the BUILD co-chairs, said last night that, for example, in Sandtown, Winchester, in 2011, there were 1,012 registered voters, and only 137 people from that neighborhood voted. So she's leading the charge, she and others, to say, come on, we've got to get involved. We've got to get people out. They're not endorsing anybody. They're not saying who to vote for, but they're saying to vote. Fern Shen, do you think that there's a candidate, or what I should say, perhaps, what do candidates need to do to get the electorate fired up, to get them interested, to get them out to the polls?
Well, I think they need to show that they are not going to be about business as usual and not going to be sort of status quo candidates who represent kind of how things have always been done around here. I mean, you look at the array of people who are, you know, declared or interested, and it's, you know, these are people who are veterans of the city council, city hall process. You know, the race right now to a lot of people is very sort of disappointing in that, you know, you don't have a lot of hope for fresh thinking. You know, sort of like the hot air balloon that we just is drifting off. It's, you know, this race is it is a lot of sloganeering and, you know, people who are, you know, mm-hmm. insiders. So, you know, there's the topics that you're talking about that, you know, I think would excite people, the everyday topics of, you know, are city services really being provided that help people in their day-to-day life? Is the money being accounted for properly in the city that, you know, if we don't have audits as we haven't for decades, people really don't like paying these high taxes and not knowing where, you know, what it's really being spent on. And then finally, the other issue that, you know, your group build, you know, and many everyday people just wonder about is downtown development, harbor development. Has that really sucked all the resources and attention away from government at the expense of the East and West sides?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carl Stokes, who's one of the candidates for mayor, has sort of made that a big calling card of his over the years, you know, sort of being opposed to the concentration on development of places like the Inner Harbor and Harbor East in mm-hmm. favor of other neighborhoods. Taylor Stewart, what about the so-called character issues? We've got, you know, Nick Mosby having questions about whether the fact that he's married to the state's attorney is going to influence his performance were he to be elected. We've got former Mayor Sheila Dixon, who is, you know, obviously tainted with you know, the fact that she was kicked out of office, you know, because of legal transgressions. In the case of Sheila Dixon, do you think people are ready to sort of forgive and forget and give her another shot?
I don't think that there's a consensus answer in Baltimore on that question. I've talked to some folks who have mentioned, like, are we really one of those cities that is going to end up electing a mayor who has, while in office, was convicted of a crime? And so then we have some folks who, and I can talk from my former students, who were like, you know, I actually like knew what was going on in the city and I can respect like what she did as mayor. And so I think it depends in Baltimore, but I do think that with those character issues, it's really important for the candidates to address them. With Nick Mosby, I think he's taking a tack right now that it's not something that people care about, but it would become something that people care about if there's a case that is coming before one of his departments and his wife is the one who's supposed to prosecute it. So I think these are things that we should hear about now, of what are their plans and how are they thinking about those character issues.
Yeah,
I think that's been brought up pretty well, and a good example that people can grasp on this conflict of interest issue is the housing department investigation right now, you know, mm-hmm. Paul Graziano and the, you know,
allegations about the requesting, you know, sexual favors.
So you know, so what if Nick Mosby were mayor at the time of this happening? So essentially it would be his wife, the state's attorney, investigating, you know, an official who is under his authority. You know, the conflict is pretty clear.
Yeah, and it's something that I think he will continue to respond to through the campaign. How about State Senator Catherine Pugh? She had a very high profile during the unrest in April, which took place in the district she represents. Fernshan, what do you think? I mean, she came in second the last time to Mrs. Rawlings Blake. She lost by, you know, quite a few votes, 20,000 votes in the primary in 2011. But her profile did increase last spring. Do you think that'll help her in this election?
You know, I didn't see a ton of it. She was visible. I don't know, but I didn't hear a lot of insight. I sort of saw her visibility, but I don't know if voters saw enough, you know, real action or input from her. So I sort of feel like she's where she was before, and, you know, has the next 6 months to sort of say, you know, you didn't do it for me last time. Here's why. You know, I think you need to reconsider me.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of candidates who are lesser known. A guy named Richard Black, a guy named Mac Clifton, Mike Marazziti. He's a bar owner in Fells Point, and a young African-American graduate of the Harvard Business School, Calvin Allen Young. They've all declared. It remains to be seen sort of how they proceed in the process. But there's a lot of speculation that David Warnock, Taylor Stewart, will enter the race. He's expected to announce on Tuesday. He owns a financial firm called Camden Partners. He's the chairman of the Greater Baltimore Committee, the Center for Urban Families. He runs a foundation called the Warnock Foundation, been involved in education issues. Do you think a white candidate like David Warnock has a chance?
I think that that's an interesting conversation in Baltimore right now. So whenever you're looking at election pollsters, they're basically going through and saying, like, well, these are the neighborhoods that you will be able to play in. I think that what will be really important for David Warnock is to, and any candidate, is to make sure that they are actually building an expansive base, like, outside of the corridor from around the water and then going up straight north, because I do think that that's a dangerous thing in our city right now of this division of two Baltimores that people are talking about. And so I think regular kind of election ideas will tell you, like, okay, well, you got to go where you're going to get your votes. But I think that any candidate needs to make sure that they are going across the city and actually building a coalition of voters from east, west, and the center of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. One thing he could be focusing on or hoping for is just the split up of votes with so many candidates. Mm-hmm. You know, this would might possibly be an opportunity for, you know.
That was a strategy that Martin O'Malley employed, back in the 90s, and it was successful for him because there were four or five very strong black candidates, and they sort of split the difference, and
I would worry, though, that somebody has to actually build the conditions to be able to govern after they win, and especially because of where Baltimore is right now, this election needs to be about actually building up a citywide kind of coalition so that people can be successful.
All right, well, thanks to you both. Fern Shen is the founder and editor of the Baltimore Brew, Taylor Stewart, the regional director of Leadership for Educational Equity. Let us know what you think about the current crop of candidates or potential candidates. You can tweet us at Maryland Morning or drop us an email, mdmorning@wypr.org. Coming up after a break for the news, the story of WANN, a radio station in Annapolis that brought the African-American community together in the years following World War II. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Here's Nathan Sterner.